I look and see that some of you were here at an earlier service. I know you just came back to hear the sermon the second time. Ken Miedema, I am so deeply moved, and I am so deeply grateful. The interim pastor search committee asked me a question. I don't remember the exact phrasing, but it was kind of, why in the world would you want to do this? My answer is simple, because I love this church. And I love these people. And together we will find our way. I'm awed to be in this place this morning after 21 years of my good friend and my chosen brother, Joe. I'm awed to stand here with Ken Miedema. I'm awed because a friend of mine corrected me once when I said we had a good choir. She said, we have a great choir. So I ask your prayers, ask your forgiveness when I forget names, and that will happen with great regularity. Exodus, the 14th chapter, please. Exodus 14, beginning at verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they were in great fear. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Let us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be still." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." The word of God for the people of God. Would you pray with me, please? In the beauty of your creation, O God, there are sounds that get organized into music and lift our souls. In the beauty of creation, there are people who understand what we think and what we feel, and who weep with us and rejoice with us, who are with us. And in the beauty of your creation, love is supreme. We've come here to edge a little closer to that love. Please, in the name of this Christ, amen. It's so hard to imagine slavery so debasing, so dehumanizing. Somebody else always telling you what to do and where to go, where you can sleep, what kind of family you can have, if any. And you get rations enough to sustain you and nothing more. And you've likely tasted a whip on your back. Things most of us have never experienced. And then a whisper. The word goes through. There's somebody come back from the wilderness says we can be free. we can get out of here. We don't have to serve this guy anymore. But it's scary. And like people too much abused, they can't imagine a future. And it takes a while. And that wonderful story in Exodus of God convincing Pharaoh to let the people go also convinces the people that they can go. And the day comes, and they march away out into the wilderness to a place they don't know, a place they've not seen. And they have no provisions, and they have no weapons. They cannot defend themselves, and they come to a place, a vast body of water, the Red Sea, a sea they've never seen before, deep and wide. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, Pharaoh has realized the economy just walked out the door. And he said, "We can't have this." And from his privileged position, he assumes he still owns those people, and he sends his army to bring them back. And the people stand there at the Red Sea, and they can see the cloud of dust behind them, and they know it's Pharaoh's army. And they can see ahead of them. And it says they complain to God, but they talk to Moses. "What have you done? You didn't think this through, Moses. How can you bring us to this place? This may have escaped your notice, but back in Egypt, our salary and benefits package didn't include a trip to the Y. We can't swim." They have no options. If they fight, they will die. If they go back, they will be enslaved again, their humanity taken away. If they go forward, they will drown. It says quite modestly, they were in great fear. Well, I guess so. And Moses, who, let's face it, has anger issues, hasn't yet been to anger management. It's kind of a miracle here what he says to them. He says, "Stand firm, fear not, see what God's going to do, and go forward." Now, for those people, the sea represented something. It was a place of chaos and confusion and fear, a place where they didn't know what was there. We're not a people who've left slavery. We're a people who've left a wonderful time. But we enter a place that may be chaotic and fearful, scary, confusing. And maybe just old Moses has something to say to us. He said to them, "Stand firm, stop, breathe, be still. Be silent." And maybe in the silence, we shall hear something we've never heard before. Some years ago now, I went to a desert state park in southern Nevada, the Valley of Fire. Do not go there in the summer. I entered the park through the back entrance. No park ranger taking my fee, just a sign that it's the honor system. Pay your fee over here. I got out of the car and realized nobody else is here. And the wind calmed, and there was this silence like only the desert can make. As I listened to it, I heard something I've never heard before. And I looked up, and there was an eagle not 20 feet over my head flapping his wings. I'd heard the flapping of eagles' wings. I found myself smiling down to the bottom of my soul. Listen, stand firm. friend of mine, a therapist, told me once that silence always asks the right question. Most of us are like me. We're a little too anxious to be silent for very long, so we get by without hearing the right question. But in the silence, if we can be still, maybe we hear. There was an elementary school teacher who, in teaching her children to write, asked them to do something unique. She asked them to make all the noise they could, to beat on the desk, to stomp their feet, to yell, to scream, to sing, talk, whatever they wanted to do to make noise. But the instructions were, when I raise my hand, stop. Everybody stop. They made all the noise they could. She raised her hand, and everybody stopped, and the silence consumed them. And she said, now I want you to write about the silence. Write what it caused your mind and your heart. And this is what they wrote. One child wrote, it's the sound of spiders spinning their webs. Another said, it's the sound of silkworms making silk. A little girl wrote, silence reminds me to take my soul with me wherever I go. That's what I need now, a reminder to take my soul with me here, now. Those of you who do spiritual direction, directors and directees, know that one of the basic premises of spiritual direction is that God is always speaking to us, always. And that the issue is our listening. Moses says, stand firm, still, and silent. Listen. It's a call to a stance of faith that even in the most extreme circumstances, there's more going on. God may be up to something. Listen. Be still. Give yourself a chance to hear. Let your soul catch up. Oh, don't leave it back there in slavery. And then he said, fear not. I have to tell you, this admonition always aggravates me. When somebody tells me not to feel what I already feel, I mean, that plane left the airport. Don't be mad. I'm already mad. Don't be afraid. I'm already scared out of my wits. But whenever human beings are on the verge of being overwhelmed, in Scripture there's this simple phrase, fear not. It is, don't let fear make your decisions. You see, fear runs away without imagining. Fear hides without dreaming. Fear takes our ignorance and creates boogeymen. And so we have economic fear, and the boogeyman is an immigrant who might take our job or commit some crime. And in fear, we give politicians power that they do not have the character for. Fear whispers, don't tell anybody, I have the power, my lawyers will destroy you in court. The antidote to fear. I hope you've seen the news lately. One young woman after another standing up in court and telling Larry Nassar his reign of terror as a sex abuser of the gymnastics team is over. Their courage moves me to tears. They show us all how not to fear, how not to let fear make our decisions. Moses moved on and said, see what God is doing. In some translations, see the deliverance of God. In some, see the salvation of God. It's different words, but it's the same idea. God's not finished. There's more. God is creating a future. Take a moment and see what God might do. people of different races, one black, one white. They loved each other. And their government said that their love was illegal. And they married each other, and the government said their marriage was illegal. And they had a child, a biracial child, and the government said the child was illegal. Hard to imagine much future. But that child is Trevor Noah, the host of late night political satire and comedy, and who really kind of functions like a prophet in our culture. I'm not sure his parents can imagine that when all they heard was illegal. I saw a t-shirt on a young teenage girl recently, and the t-shirt said, "I am my ancestors' wildest dream." I'm scared to think what my grandfather might say right now. My brother-in-law, Gary, in Muhlenberg County, largest coal-producing county in the world at one time, showed me a receipt from his grandfather. The receipt showed that his grandfather had worked 90 hours in the mines that week, in 1 week. He was paid in script. The script was only redeemable at the company's store. And he took that 90 hours worth of script to that store and bought groceries for his family and came out owing more than he made. I cannot imagine that man in the dark hole in the ground, hour after hour, with a ceiling that could fall in on him at any time, with virtually no safety measures, ever imagining that his grandson would be one of the leaders of that small town, getting grants to create parks, proudly showing off new schools, doing all kinds of things, making it a better community where people don't get paid in script, but where they have hope and where they have community. Hard to imagine. Moses is asking the people to dream, to imagine a hope for what they cannot see, a deliverance from what enslaves, the shaping of their very nation's soul, the sculpting of them as God's people. What's your wildest dream for those who come after us? For these children who walk in sneakers carrying fire to the service, what's your dream for them? What's your dream for the person who sits alone this morning, depressed and afraid, and not here? What's a dream for your own grandchild, your children? What's your dream for social justice? And Moses said, go forward. Don't go back, not to slavery, not back to the ugly racism of our past. Go forward. Moses, there's a big sea there. Go forward into the sea, into the chaos, into the confusion, into what frightens us. Yes. Yes. But one of the things we sometimes miss is they didn't think the way we do. We hear this as individuals. This is what I should do. They heard it as a group. This is what we should do. And the going forward is going hand in hand, heart in heart, together as a people. Yes, go forward. As a people called by God on this corner of Grinstead and Cherokee, called to do the work of love. And make no mistake, Loving everybody is messy. It's confusing. It's scary. It's even controversial. But we are our ancestors' wildest dream. For some reason, it reminds me of what Martin Luther said going forward. Love God and sin on bravely. Amen. We sing a hymn for our renewal, for our commitments. This is your time. Let's stand together to sing, please. 565.